I've been to a lot of people's houses for dinner. I've had people over, and wouldn't you love to have that conversation with Jesus at the well? It's a haunting thing. There's Jesus by this well. The well is 1,000 years old. It's 80 to 100 feet deep. It's a real sink. It's a place of pilgrimage right in the middle of Galilee. But Jews don't come to it because it's in Samaria, a place that they try to avoid. But Jesus is sitting by the well, just waiting. We know that Jesus had been in around Jerusalem, and it got too difficult for him. They were already looking to arrest him, so he made it back up to Galilee, where it's very safe. And now he's slowly making his way back to Jerusalem. He's not in a hurry. You know, Galilee is up here, and Judea is down here, and Samaria lies right in the middle. And the easiest way to go is right through Samaria. Most of the time, the Jews took the Jordan River. Cooler, a little longer, big hike up the mountain from Jericho up to Jerusalem, 7,000 feet. But worth it, because there aren't people like the Samaritans. So Jesus has made a deliberate choice to go the short way. He has no reason to go a short way. And he wants to encounter Samaritans. These are people, they're still in existence today. After all these years, they're still Samaritans, and they live in this area. When the Babylonians took the Jews out of that central area when the northern kingdom fell, they resettled it with their own people. And these people interbred, and they married, and they became half Jewish and half pagan. So when the Jews came back to the south after the exile and tried to build their temple, the Samaritans offered to help, and the Jews said, "We don't want you to help, you're half-breeds." And hence, a 400-year feud began. And in the midst of this, there's always somebody arguing in the Middle East anyway. So this is 400 years old, this argument, and Jesus steps right in the middle of it, deliberately. And you add to that, as a rabbi, rabbis never talked to strange women. They didn't initiate a conversation with a woman in that culture. And she's a Samaritan. They don't talk to each other. They don't even use the same utensils. It renders a Jew ritually impure. So here comes Jesus. He sends the apostles off to town. The town is a half a mile away. There are closer wells. Is Jesus waiting for someone to come to him? Is he hoping to encounter somebody? He's alone at the well. I'd like to go talk with him at the well. Wouldn't you like to talk with him? He's inviting us to the well. What conversation are we going to have with Jesus? Might be a little bit edgy. Might be a bit dangerous. He might tell me everything I have ever done. Do you still want him to come over? What if I was at dinner with you and I said, please don't take this personally if anybody's had this problem, but, you know, you're living with somebody, and I say, go call your husband. They say, I don't have, this is my fiance. Well, that's true, but you've had 5 husbands. I wouldn't be invited back, would I? Would you make a comment like that when you're having dinner with somebody? Jesus, you know, we invite him over. He's going to go right to the issue. She goes right to the issue, too. You know, you Jews worship over here and we worship over there. What do you have to say about it if you're the Messiah? You know, I'm a Republican and you're a Democrat. And what do you think about this? Jesus, what's he going to answer to this? It's a real story. These are real people. It's a real issue. And this woman is probably an outcast of some kind. She's going to the well at midday in the heat of the day. It's 110 degrees there in the hot summer, probably. And she's going when other women are not there. She doesn't want to be seen. She wants to be alone to do this. She brings her bucket with her. The thing is 80 feet deep. You need your own bucket. She makes eye contact with Jesus. He's just sitting there. She's looking at him. He's going to Jerusalem. He's a Jew. What's he doing here at noon, just sitting here? She's looking at him. She's putting the bucket down in this well. And Jesus is over here. I don't know what he's doing, but he's kind of like this. Catches her eye. She's rolling it back up now. Woman, give me a drink. You, a Jew and a rabbi, talking to me, a Samaritan woman? And she can't believe he wants to drink out of the same cup. Talk about an edgy moment. No Jew would do this. But Jesus is not an ordinary Jew. He wants to drink out of her cup. What he's saying there is, I'm willing to become ritually impure for your sake. So already here in Lent, we've got sins, you know, an encounter with Christ is real. He's going to zero in on the thing that we need to work on. If God isn't challenging us, we're not having a real relationship with him, because we're not there just to have the banquet of heaven. He's giving her food. He's giving the disciples food they do not know about and drink she doesn't understand. It's the Eucharist already, even though he hasn't died yet, you see. And he's going to feed her and feed them and give them drink. But in the meantime, he needs something done for him. And he's going to take her sins on himself symbolically with that action, which a Jewish person would understand this from that culture. And so he talks in this story and with the apostles. He's talking on one level. Excuse me, she's talking on one level. He's on another. He says, I myself am the living water. If you drink my water, you won't have to go to get this well anymore. She says, oh, I really want your living water. That means flowing water. I really want your living water. Please, fill my bucket with that and I won't have to come back. See, she doesn't get it yet. This is when Jesus says, go call your husband. He decides to change tactics with this woman. But when she gets it, she becomes she tells everybody what happened. Tells everybody. And probably after the resurrection of the dead, she's going to be part of Jesus' followers. You know it's coming. When I hear this gospel, I always think of Jesus by that well. How many times, perhaps, we've encountered Jesus at the well? He didn't look like the Messiah. She'd never seen him before. He didn't glow in the dark. And you know, he's still sitting by the well waiting for us. He'll come at a certain time of our lives when we're really down, where it's the heat of day, we're busy doing our life's work, pulling that bucket out of the, you know what I mean, earning a living, pulling that bucket out of the water. You know, same old thing. God save me from another day with this bucket and this old grind, you know. And Jesus is sitting there by the well. We've got a problem. We're sitting by the well and praying, and Jesus starts engaging us in conversation and says, you know, there is living water. Come to me, my baptism. This is not symbolic. That's living water. In heaven, you don't have to go to the well anymore. The well comes to you. You don't have to go to the store and get food. It will be there for you when you ask. But now, I'm going to take you on a journey. And when you go home, you're never going to be the same again. This is a real encounter with Christ. Lent is kind of like this. It's a dry desert, but in the middle of it is God's well. We have to work, put that bucket down. It's not right at the surface. We have to put that bucket down. He's going to call us to share our bucket with somebody else. That's what life is about. An inconvenience, something we're not expecting, someone we don't think is going to offer us the future, and this will be Christ in disguise. It happens to me all the time as a priest. That's the best thing about being a priest. You never know where Christ is going to show up in my daily work. He's always in the Eucharist, always in the Word, but after that, he shows up in encounters at the well. We, too, are sitting at the well. It's life. We're busy doing our life's work, but Christ will be there periodically and in many forms, waiting for us to engage him in conversation, to befriend somebody we would not think of, to offer our bucket to him. And when we do that in confession, he takes our sins to himself and makes them his own so that we might be free. Lord, come and fill our water, our food, with the living water and the bread of life. Amen.